Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, all right. Sit down. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Colossians, Colossians. Am I on here, Dan? All right. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Couple of things. First of all, no, the people in the back sections were not in trouble. Yesterday, Brother Dominguez called me and said, Brother, he knew I was preaching today. He said, Brother King, please don't make me hold my hands up over my head for the whole message tomorrow. I said, Brother Dominguez, I promise to leave you alone. I'm just going to pick on the students instead of the staff, because after last time, some of the staff is still not speaking to me. So I want to talk to you about a couple of things today, and we're going to get to Colossians chapter 3 in just a minute. But one of the things that I appreciate, and the Lord, I've known that I was going to be preaching to you this semester for a couple of months, and then I was supposed to be preaching in a few weeks, but then some things changed, so I get to preach to you today. And I said, that's not really fair. You know, Pastor preached on Tuesday, Brother Van Gelderen the next 2 days, and then I get to preach to you after them. You have to listen to me after listening to those guys, and so I apologize to you ahead of time. And then Brother Francis says, Brother Angelo, he's the favorite preacher at City Baptist, and he's sitting right there, and I get to preach to you, and I should just have him come up here and preach. I'll bet you would enjoy that. But you're stuck with me. So a couple of things that I appreciated the last couple of days, especially Brother Van Gelderen, and I appreciated his illustrations. I like the illustrations partly because he said a couple of things that really, for me, they kind of gave me a different perspective. And that's what I'm going to preach to you about this morning out of Colossians chapter 3, is a change in perspective. And one of the things that Brother Van Gelderen said right out of the gate on Wednesday was he was talking to us, he talked to us, preached about moral purity. And one of the things that he said is he said moral purity is not the same thing as virginity. He said just because you make it to the marriage altar as a virgin does not mean you made it to the marriage altar pure. And I, to be honest with you, I'm 44 years old. I've been doing this for a little while. Brother Francis, when he talked about me, said he'd been doing this for many years. It made me sound like I'm like 100 years old. I'm not that old. But, you know, it really, I had never heard it put that way before. And it, to be honest, for me, and we've talked about it, several staff members and I through over the last couple of days, it gave me a little bit different perspective on how I look at things for me personally, but also on how I relate to and deal with people. Then yesterday, again, Brother Van Gelderen talked about your flesh indulgence and your flesh dependence and the difference of those two things. And then being on that narrow road that is a life that's yielded to God. And then the Wednesday night when he preached and he talked about being a 0% us and 100% God. Not a 50-50 arrangement. But all of those things, really, one of the things that illustrations help us with is it sometimes helps us to change our perspective. And really, that's a lot of preaching. A lot of preaching is trying to persuade you to change your perspective. How many of you, maybe when you were growing up, you had your parent, you got in trouble for something. I know most of you never got in trouble for anything, especially those that came from that section back there. But how many of you, your parents ever at some point said to you when you were being disciplined, what would you do if you were the dad or if you were the mom, right? If you were me, what would you do? There's something about now that, you know, my dad said that to me. He usually really didn't care what I would do if I was him. He just pretty much did what he wanted to do. It didn't matter what I would do. You know, because if I was you, I would probably give me ice cream and $100 and send me on my way. But that's not usually what happened. But really, for us young people, I want to challenge you this morning a little bit to consider your perspective. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to read the first four verses, and we'll get into the message this morning. It says this, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for today. God, thank you for loving all of us. But Lord, thank you for loving me. Lord, thank you for being patient with us and gracious and merciful. Lord, you've done all of those things for us and in us and through us because you do want something from us. And I pray that you'd help us to be what you'd have us to be. I pray that you would this morning, Lord. I know you have, and just, Lord, I've been contemplating, praying over this passage of Scripture for really a couple of months now. And you've used it in a number of ways in my life, and I thank you for it. I pray that you do the same this morning. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Title of the message is A Change of Perspective. There are some things in your life that affect your perspective, and I'm going to talk about just four of them this morning. The first one is this: what you seek. What you seek changes your perspective. What you seek determines what you see. Let me illustrate that for you a little bit. Basically, what that means is what you're looking for. He says in the first verse, he says, if ye then be risen with Christ. What that means is, if you're a child of God, if you are saved today, and I hope that that would be just about everybody in this room. I hope it would be everybody in this room, but I'm not going to assume that. But if you're a Christian today, what does that mean? That means this is talking to you. If you're risen with Christ, if you are a child of God, he says, seek those things which are above. If I said, I told my guys this morning, told some guys this morning, I said, look, just thinking about that word seek. If your mom said, hey, your least favorite sibling lost their tennis shoes, I want you to help them look for them. That's one of these kind of seek where you're like, yep, don't see him. Can't find him. I looked, but I didn't see him. On the other hand, if your mom said, I lost $1,000 in cash, and if you find it, you can have half of it. That's a different kind of seek, right? All of a sudden, I just became instantly motivated. I had other things to do, but that all just changed because why? Because I'm seeking for something. The fact of the matter is, what you see, if your mom said, hey, I'll give you that same $500 if you find your sister's tennis shoes, you'd probably go to your closet where you hid your sister's tennis shoes and take them out and be like, here they are. No, the fact of the matter is, what I look for determines what I see. You've heard the illustration of people, you know, we talk about the Gospels, and the four Gospels in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, for you seniors. The fact is, we talk about those things, and we say, hey, they're all a little bit different, they all agree, but they're all coming, why are they different? Because they have a different perspective. But if you were at a car accident in the parking lot at Hiles Anderson College in the last couple of days, or any other time, if you're in a car accident, okay, everybody that was there or around or even heard about it sees something differently, right? If you're a guy and you like cars, you're going to say, yeah, it was a Ford F-150 with a big block engine in it, or a Chevy with a big block or whatever. But you're going to tell me what kind of truck it was, and it had, you know, bigger tires, it had a lift kit on it, it had all these sort of things in it. If you're a girl, you're going to say, well, the girl that was in the accident, she was wearing a pink blouse, and I think she had a black skirt on. Her shoes, those shoes didn't really make sense with the outfit, but, you know, that was really, right. Why is that? Because it's about what we seek. It's about what we are looking for. None of those things may have been false. They might all be true. But what you seek determines what you see. When you came into chapel today, you might have been seeking for a nice warm seat where you could get a good nap. And you're like, I was, Brother King, and you totally messed it up because you made me move to the back. But whatever it was, what did you come into chapel today seeking for? What did you get up this morning seeking for? What did you go to class this morning seeking for? You probably found what you were looking for. When you go up on your bus route tomorrow, what are you looking for? Some place to warm up and get a cheeseburger, Brother King. It's cold out there. You know, if you're looking for lost people, guess what? They're out there. If you're looking for people that need the Lord, they're not hard to find. Not all of them know that they need him. Not all of them might even want him, but that doesn't mean they don't need him. But what you seek, everything about your day. This morning I walked over and the sun was coming up. Some of you still think it comes up instantaneously. It does not. It comes up gradually. It's actually really pretty. This morning, the sunrise, how many of you saw the sunrise this morning? It looked more like a sunset. It was beautiful. The sky, well, there was like pink and blue, and I enjoy beautiful sunrises, sunsets, and I look for them. The fact of the matter is when I was walking over across the parking lot and just looking at it, I stopped for a minute, not too long because it was cold outside, but I stopped for a minute and just enjoyed it, and I was thinking it was a little bit pink, and you know, they say pink sky at night, sailors delight, pink sky in the morning, sailors take warning, usually it means it would be bad weather or whatever the case may be. But all those things, I was thinking through that, but I was looking for that. And I stopped, and I thanked the Lord for that this morning, for a beautiful sunrise, for allowing me to see a beautiful sunrise. But where you or what you seek determines a lot of what you see. For instance, there are college students here at Hiles Anderson College that are not dating, that would say, Brother John, there's nobody to date. Brother Eggers, there's just nobody. Brother Stubblefield, there aren't any available girls in this whole college. What you seek determines what you see. Now, some of you guys are seeking something that's way beyond your abilities. I'm just telling you right now. Or your qualifications. But the fact of the matter is, I got to tell you this. A guy I worked with at Lowe's years ago, his mantra was, lower your expectations. That way you won't be so disappointed when it doesn't happen. Some of you, that's your dating counsel that you've gotten, right? But that's not, no, but really what we're seeking for determines what we see. The second thing, he says, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God, the second thing that determines what you see, and this is really why I had you all move, is where you sit. Where you sit determines what you see. I don't know. How many of you like roller coasters? How many of you like the front car on a roller coaster? Would you agree that the view from the front is different, you know, different from the view from the back? Brother Wolf told me about, I have to be careful quoting Brother Wolf in college chapel, but Brother Wolf told me about a sticker that he saw in a refrigerator one time. It said this, it said, unless you're the lead dog, the view never changes. Some of you will get that later. But the fact of the matter is, where you sit. You know what God sees? What God sees is different than what you and I see. And part of that, you say, well, yeah, he sees everything. That's true. But part of that is because of where he sits. His ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. He sees things differently. He sees eternity past, eternity future, and the present, all like one still photo. He sees everything. Where you sit determines. I'll be honest with you. For me personally, I like in chapel and in church, I like sitting towards the front. I know Dr. Young has said, and you've heard other preachers have said, hey, if you want to get something out of chapel, you want to get something out of class, sit towards the front. Oftentimes they'll say, sit in the front five rows. That's part of the reason that I just picked the front five rows, okay? It's not because I was picking on anybody, and I know some of you might be thinking, Brother King, for the first time in my entire college career, I sat in the back and you made me move to the front. But where you sit, I'll be honest with you, I sit sometimes when I'm not on the platform, I'll sit in the back. And the experience of chapel from the back row is not the same as the experience of chapel from the front row. The experience of a roller coaster from the back seat is not the same as the experience of a roller coaster from the front seat. It's just not. And sometimes what you need to think about when it comes to your perspective is the seat that you're sitting in. For example, in your home, for your parents, many of you came from godly homes. I know not all of you necessarily did. But there may have been rules and guidelines and things in your home or things that you did or didn't do or your parents did or didn't do. And you may say at 18, 20 years old, I just don't understand. That's probably because of the seat that you sit in. There are things for me, in my office here, and not necessarily the physical location, but the seat that I sit in my office changes my perspective on things. For all of our teachers, for all of our staff, the seat that they sit in. You know when the people that are on QC, that are on the cleaning staff, because of the seat that they sit in there, it changes what they see. People that are on maintenance or on grounds, where the seat that they sit in changes what they see. And you know one of the best things that you could do for yourself? Is at least in your heart and in your mind, put yourself in their seat. Try sitting in their seat for a change. Think about next time you go into the bathroom. If I was the person that had to clean this, would I pick up that piece of paper off the floor? If I was the person that had to do the dishes in the dining hall, would I do things differently? If I was the person that was making the food, if I was the person that had spent hours preparing to teach this class, would I treat this class differently than me as a person just sitting here just trying not to stay awake? Some of you try to stay awake, I know. But the seat that you sit in changes your perspective. And having a grasp on that and saying, you know, sometimes, you know, you've heard people say this, put yourself in my shoes. That's what I'm talking about. Putting yourself in a different seat to say, how do things look from here? You know, I often, you know, people, I'll get, somebody will be in trouble. One of the rules we have is not being too close for couples. And so somebody will send me a picture that somebody posts. And look at this couple. And Brother King, they're definitely touching. This is the messages that I get, okay? And it's my job to deal with that. But oftentimes, those of you that take a lot of those photos, you know that, Brother Egger, stand up for just a minute. Now, what can I say?
We're back here.
So, listen, for all of you, if I stand right here, you can see, obviously, we're not touching. Now, for those of you that are over here, just stay right there, you can still see that we're not touching. But for those of you that are sitting in these seats, that's points, Brother King. Why? Because of where you're sitting. Go ahead, you can have a seat. Thank you. The fact of the matter is, what you see is determined by where you sit. And I'm talking about more, this was just a physical example of more of a spiritual and a mental truth. The seat that you sit in, keep in mind, you might not understand why Brother Francis has this rule or that rule, or why do we have to do it this way, or why can't we do it that way? And I like, somebody asked Pastor a question about something like that. Why do you have this rule? And it wasn't a student. It was an adult. And they said, I don't understand that. And Pastor said, oh, I don't know, 50 years of precedence and proof that it works. Not in a, but just, I'm saying, understanding that you might not see the whole picture. In my life, there's things that I might say, God, why would you allow this? Why did you cause that to happen? Why did you make that happen? Or why did you allow that to happen? Or why can't I do this? And I feel like sometimes God says to me, if you sat where I sit, you might understand. Where you sit determines what you see. What you seek determines what you see. And the third thing is this. Let's keep reading verse number 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. What you set your affection on determines what you see. You know, I believe, and I can say this from the bottom of my heart, I believe that my wife is the most beautiful lady in the entire world. Because that's where my affection is set. I love my wife. I think, you know, how many of you have ever heard somebody sing that somebody else told them that they could sing and you don't believe they were right? Right? Somebody that loves, you know, as a parent, when I hear, my daughter Chloe is learning how to play the piano, okay? When I hear Chloe play the piano, Bach, Beethoven, none of those guys have anything on her. Why? Because that's where my affection is set. But in life, in ministry, in what you do, what you love determines what you see. What I love determines what I see. Oftentimes with a student, an opportunity to deal with a student or talking to a student, and somebody might say, well, Brother King, they just got a bad attitude. They got all kinds of problems. Somebody needs to set them straight. You know, if you love them and you sit down and talk to them, you might find out that they're going through something very difficult. But you've got to love them and care about them enough, Brother Angelo, the young people you work with every week. Somebody else might come in and they would say, how in the world do you even deal with these kids? Because you love them. Because you see their hurt, you see their difficulties, you see the things that they deal with. And because of that, it changes what you see. When I went to Georgia to pastor, it was a church up in the mountains, little town up in the mountains. It was beautiful. But the people there that had been there for a long time, they had a kind of a different way of doing things and kind of a different perspective. And it's not uncommon for those of you that are down from maybe in that area. It's not uncommon even in a church, in an independent fundamental Baptist church, that I would say even for my church before I got there. I was out soul winning one time and knocked a door and a lady came to the door. I told her who I was, where I was from, and she said, I will never step foot in the doors of that church. And I said, can I ask why? I'm fairly new here, but do you mind if I ask why? She said, my daughter got saved. I came to that church to see my daughter get baptized, and somebody in the church met me in the parking lot and told me when I went home and changed from my pants to a dress, I could come into the church, but until then, I wasn't welcome. And that story could have been repeated over and over again, not just that church, but a lot of churches. I'll be honest with you, it kind of blew my mind that somebody would say that, but that's the facts of the matter. And I just told the lady, I said, look, can I tell you something? I don't know who said that to you, and I'm very sorry for that. But I would love for you to come to church. And I promise you that that won't happen if you come visit. That lady did end up coming to visit the church. She came back and ended up bringing some of her kids with her. But here's the thing. When I went there, I told the people at that church, I said, something you have to know about me. Because before that, I had spent 7 years. I was a youth pastor for 15 years, spent 7 years working with the RU Addictions Ministry. And I told the people in the church, I said, look, for me, when I see a drunk on the side of the road, I see somebody who could be a Sunday school teacher. I mean, not that they are a Sunday school teacher and they're out drinking, but somebody that God could make into a Sunday school teacher, right? I see somebody that God could get a hold of their life and make a difference. It's exciting to me as I watch young people, college students, here preparing for the ministry. And oftentimes, I was talking to one of the young men today, and I won't embarrass him, but he's been here for a couple of years now, and I said, how are you different today than you were when you came? I'll be honest, I've seen tremendous growth and change. First semester, I wasn't sure he was going to make it. A lot different now. But seeing that potential in people, seeing what God can do in a ministry, in people, on your bus route, in all those things, what you love determines what you see. Where your affection is set. He says, set your affection on things above. Learn to love the things of God. What you seek determines your perspective. Where you sit determines your perspective. What you set your affection on determines your perspective. And I have one more for you. Jump down to verse number 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. What you shall see determines your perspective. It determines what you see. What you're focused on. Okay, for instance, you're at college. If your focus is getting a degree, if that's what you're focused on, what you're going to see, what you've set out there as a goal, then the things around you, everything that you see, you're going to see how it fits into that plan. How this one more class, you know, hey, I'm counting down the days. I'm checking off the days until I get graduation. We have some couples in here that are engaged, okay? And I enjoy passing those couples and saying, how many days? You know why? They're counting down the days because of what they shall see, what's coming, what they're looking forward to. That determines what they see. What you're anticipating, what you're excited about, what your goals are, determines what you see. And keeping in mind here, when he says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. And I'm not going to get into that. It's a whole other great truth, Christ, who is our life. But he says, when he shall appear, then we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Knowing that I'm going to be in heaven someday. Pastor says all the time, all that's going to matter 100 years from now is what? Where you live. Help me one more time. We have visitors here. You guys are embarrassing me. All that's going to matter 100 years from now is what? Where you live. See, I gave you the answer and you knew it all of a sudden. It's amazing. It's good to know you all sleep through church. Hey, all that's going to matter 100 years from now is where you live. But guess what? Sometime between, I'm guessing I probably won't make it another 100 years. I'm hoping to make it to 100 years, but I don't want to be 144. I really don't. I'd rather be in heaven. But the fact of the matter is, knowing that I'm going to stand before him, part of it is knowing that I'm going to be judged for the things that I've done in my flesh. The Bible says, whether they be good or bad. Part of that changes what I see. Knowing the judgment, the Bible says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But the same chapter also says the love of Christ constraineth us. Knowing how much he loves me. You know, to be honest with you, at 44 years old, one of the things that has kept me doing right and living right with the Lord's help is I know how much my mom and dad love me and have invested in me. And still at 44 years old, you know, one of the things I want is for my parents to be able to say, I'm proud of you. I know when they come through, I'll show my dad things that I'm, projects that I'm working on, different things, or, you know, tell him about things that God has done in the ministry. I look forward to seeing him when he comes through. Or when I get to go see him when we go up there and visit. But for you, knowing what you shall see, knowing what's coming in eternity, knowing what's ahead of you. One of the things, when Brother Van Gelderen talked about moral purity on Wednesday, knowing that you have the opportunity to have an awesome marriage is one of the things that should change your perspective on what you see here. It should change. Young ladies, it should change how you view a young man. Men, it should change how you view a young lady to some extent, knowing what shall be. All of those things matter. They go into your perspective. And I'm going to tell you why here. We're going to jump down to the last part of the chapter here. The next section of verses talks about, verse number 5 says, mortify therefore, put to death therefore your members which are upon the earth. And he goes through and lists a whole bunch of sins and things that are part of us. And he says, because of that, because of the fact that you're a child of God, because of what you're seeking, because of where you sit, because of what you see, because of what you set your affection on, because of all that, he says, mortify therefore your members, your fleshly desires, all the sins. He says, get rid of those things. Next several verses talking about putting off certain things and putting on certain things. Jump down with me, though, to verse number 14. He says, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Why does it matter? Why do I need to change my perspective? Brother King, I like my perspective. I wish everybody else had the same perspective with me, then they could all be right. Like the shirt you see, you know, I would agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong. He says, above all these things, all the putting off and putting on, you need all these things, and they're all important. But he says, above all these, put on charity. The greatest motivator in all the world is love. Why would I want to change what I seek? Why would I want to seek something different? Because of what you love. Why would I want to change where I sit? Why would I want to change my point of view? Because of what you love. Why would I want to set my affection on something different? Because of what you love. Why would I want to look forward to what I shall see? Why would I want to make decisions today based on what's going to happen 50 years from now? Because of what you love. He says, charity is the bond of perfectness. Above everything else, put on charity. Why does it matter how I live now, Brother King? Why does it matter if I am faithful to the bus ministry? Why does it matter if I come into chapel and my heart is actually here and I'm actually singing the songs and I actually ask God before chapel starts to speak to my heart and I actually am obedient when he does? And why does it matter if I really pay attention in the classes and get something from it or if I just pass the class? Why does it matter? Why should I care? Because of what you love. What you love will change all of that. He says in verse number 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Basically, in verse 14 and verse 15, he says, put on love and let God rule. Learn to love and let God be in charge. The peace of God that rules in your heart means it overcomes everything else. Two verses, verse number 17 and 23, say basically the same thing. And young people, to be honest with you, for most of us, this is why we struggle. No matter what the area is that you're struggling in, he says this, and whatsoever you do, verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Young people, it'll change your perspective when you decide that it really is not about me. What you have done so far today, how much of it really was all about God? How much of it really was for the Lord? When we sang earlier, were you singing for the Lord? When you got up this morning, did you say, Lord, help me to live today for you? What is your perspective? every head bowed and every eye closed. Would you let God change your perspective a little bit this morning if it needs change? Maybe your perspective is great today. But maybe you're just overwhelmed by circumstances and situations and difficulties in your life. But maybe that's because what you're seeking isn't what it ought to be. Maybe you need to put yourself in somebody else's shoes. You need to sit someplace different. You need to set your affection on something different. Your perspective is, Lord, let me live for you. Let it be about you.